ever space out and grab the wrong thing, like reaching for your coffee, but you almost grab the cleaning spray instead.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Right. But imagine if that kind of brain hiccup happened on a job where, a mistake could be really serious.
Yeah.
Today's deep dive is all about that. Workplace safety, especially around electrical hazards. You've given us a really interesting mix of stuff to unpack. Case studies from a wearable tech company called Proxy, some academic research on safety incentives, even an article about how distraction just messes us all up.
It's about more than just avoiding accidents. It's about understanding why they happen, how our brains work under pressure, and what truly motivates safe behavior.
Okay, so let's start with Proxy. They make a wristband that's like a personal danger zone alert system for electrical fields. So you get too close to something risky, it warns you before you get zapped.
Yeah.
Pretty wild, right?
It is a fascinating application of wearable technology, particularly in sectors like energy and manufacturing, where electrical hazards are a constant concern.
Yeah, and we've got these two case studies, Eaton, a big manufacturing company, and FieldCore, which does global energy services. They're all about hitting zero harm, which, I mean, that sounds crazy ambitious.
Right.
But Eaton found they actually had to tweak their wristband settings because what was too close for their setup wasn't matching the out-of-the-box alerts.
That customization aspect is crucial.
Yeah.
Technology can be incredibly powerful, but it needs to be tailored to the specific environment and tasks at hand. What might be a distracting electrical field for one job could be perfectly normal for another.
So it's like those lane assist things in cars.
Right. Some drivers swear by them, others find them more distracting than helpful. But hold on, if we're talking about tailoring tech to the individual, doesn't that bring up a bigger question? We can have all the fancy gear, but if someone's having a day not paying attention or just has bad habits,
Right.
does any of it really matter?
You've hit on a crucial point. Even the most sophisticated technology is only as good as the person using it. And unfortunately, a lot of companies focus on reducing the number of accidents rather than building a culture of safety.
So it's like saying, well, nobody got hurt this time, even if someone was totally cutting corners with the safety procedures.
Precisely. That focus on outcomes, not behavior, can create a false sense of security. It's not enough to just avoid accidents. We need to understand why they happen and encourage a proactive approach to safety. Which brings us to that academic study you shared.
Right. This wasn't just about accidents happening or not. They used AI to actually watch how workers were behaving on the job.
A fascinating approach. They set up a simulated task and had AI analyze how well workers followed three specific safety rules. This gives a much more detailed understanding of safety behavior than just looking at accident rates.
And here's the kicker. Giving people rewards for being safe wasn't always the best strategy long term.
Yeah.
Seriously, I thought more rewards would equal safer behavior. What's the logic there?
It is counterintuitive, isn't it? The study actually found that combining penalties for not following the rules and giving people regular feedback on their performance was the most effective way to get people to be safer in the long run. It seems like constant positive reinforcement can lose its impact over time.
So you're saying if you're always getting a gold star, it stops feeling special. But how do penalties make things better? Wouldn't that just make people stressed and more likely to mess up?
That's a great question, and that's where things get really interesting. The study found that when people were reminded of what could go wrong and how well they were already doing, it created a sense of responsibility. But too much negativity backfired. In extreme cases, constant penalties made people panic, basically giving up because they felt overwhelmed.
So it's like a balancing act. A little pressure can be motivating, but too much, and it's just counterproductive.
Exactly. And this connects to that article you mentioned about distraction. Remember the term inattentional blindness? You're looking right at something, but your brain is so overloaded you don't actually see it.
Oh, like when you lose your keys and they're right there on the counter the whole time.
Precisely. This
Oh.
happens all the time, especially in jobs where focus is critical. Now, think about Proxy's wristband. It acts like a second set of eyes, cutting through the mental clutter to prevent those moments where our brains just check out, essentially combating inattentional blindness with a physical alert.
It's like a safety net for our easily distracted brains.
Exactly.
But then we're back to Eden needing to customize those alerts.
Right.
What's distracting for one person, might be business as usual for another.
Yeah.
So even with this cool tech, it's designed by humans, used by humans. There's always that element of individual perception.
You've hit on a vital point. Technology can provide a framework, but it's up to us, the users, to understand its limitations and adapt it to our specific needs. And this brings us back to the concept of safety culture. We've been talking about how to incentivize safety, but what about the environment in which those incentives exist?
So it's more than just carrots and sticks, more than just do this, don't do that.
Exactly. Imagine a workplace where people feel empowered to speak up about potential hazards, where near misses are seen as learning opportunities. Not something to be swept under the rug.
Okay.
What if instead of just punishing mistakes, we reward people for speaking up about potential hazards, for suggesting improvements, for actively contributing to a safer workplace?
You mean like someone saying, hey, I almost tripped over that cable, let's fix it before someone actually gets hurt. And then they get, I don't know, like a bonus or something.
Precisely. What if near misses were seen as valuable learning opportunities, not something to be feared or hidden? Imagine a workplace where someone who spots a potential hazard and takes steps to fix it is celebrated, not just for preventing an accident, but for their proactive commitment to safety.
Right. That would be a huge shift. Instead of safety feeling like a burden, you know, like a set of rules to avoid getting in trouble, it becomes something everyone's invested in, something people are actively thinking about.
Exactly. And that kind of cultural shift can't be achieved through technology or incentives alone. It requires a fundamental change in how we think about and value safety.
Speaking of thinking about safety, you mentioned that the study used AI to analyze how workers followed three specific safety rules. What were those rules and how did they use AI? That seems pretty high tech.
The researchers used a simulated environment that mimicked common workplace tasks that involved potential electrical hazards. The AI system utilized computer vision algorithms to track the workers' movements and interactions with their surroundings in real time. The system was trained to identify whether the workers were adhering to three specific safety protocols: maintaining a safe distance from energized equipment, using insulated tools appropriately, and following proper lockout/slash-out procedures.
Wow, that's really interesting. So it wasn't just a matter of whether someone got zapped or not. They were looking at those tiny day-to-day choices that could make all the difference. But how does that translate to the real world? Not all of us work in a simulated environment with AI watching our every move.
You're right. Not every workplace has access to that level of sophisticated technology. But the principles behind the study's findings can still be applied. Even without AI, we can still focus on those specific behaviors that contribute to a safer work environment. It's about creating a culture of awareness and accountability, where everyone understands the importance of those seemingly small actions and feels empowered to speak up if something isn't right.
So instead of just saying, be safe, we need to break it down. Maintain a safe distance, use insulated tools, follow the lockout procedure, things like that.
Exactly. Make it concrete, make it actionable, and then regularly reinforce those behaviors, not just when someone makes a mistake. Remember, this study showed that consistent feedback, both positive and corrective, was key to long-term improvement.
Okay, so be specific about what good safety looks like and make it a constant conversation, not just a once-a-year training session.
Got it. But going back to those incentives for a second, you said the study found that combining penalties with feedback was the most effective.
Right.
What kind of penalties are we talking about here?
That's a crucial point, and it's important to approach this with nuance. We're not talking about creating a culture of fear and punishment. It's not about harsh reprimands for every minor infraction.
Okay, good, because that doesn't sound like a very fun place to work. Exactly. This is about finding that sweet spot. A system that strikes a balance between accountability and positive reinforcement. For example, in the study, they experimented with different approaches. One method involved point deductions for safety violations, which could then impact an individual's overall performance evaluation. Another approach used verbal warnings, escalating to temporary loss of privileges, like operating suit and machinery if the behavior continued.
So, like, progressive system. Start with a friendly reminder, but if someone's really being reckless, then there are actual consequences. Makes sense. But this all feels kind of, I don't know, negative, you know, focusing on what not to do. What about those positive incentives we were talking about earlier? How do those fit into the picture?
You bring up an excellent point. Remember that idea of celebrating near misses as learning opportunities? That's one way to shift the focus towards positive reinforcement.
Right.
Instead of just punishing mistakes, we can create a system where employees earn points for reporting potential hazards. And those points can translate into tangible benefits, maybe extra vacation days, bonuses, or even something as simple as gift cards.
Okay, yeah. I like where you're going with this. So instead of just avoiding getting in trouble, you're actually working towards something positive.
Right.
That's a much more, I don't know, motivating way to approach safety, right? But how do we measure something like a culture of safety? It seems kind of vague and hard to quantify.
That's a great question, and it gets to the heart of why so many companies struggle with this. Measuring a culture of safety is tricky because it's not a single thing you can measure directly.
Right.
It's a combination of factors.
Like how comfortable people feel speaking up about concerns.
Exactly. How often are near misses reported? How actively are employees engaged in safety meetings and suggesting improvements? These are all indicators of a healthy safety culture.
It's about creating an environment where safety is everyone's responsibility, not just the responsibility of the safety officer or the management team. It's about building a culture where everyone feels empowered to speak up and take action.
Exactly. And that kind of culture takes time and effort to build. It requires consistent messaging from leadership, open communication channels, and a genuine commitment to making safety a core value, not just a box to be ticked.
So it's not just about like having the right rules or the coolest tech. It's about creating an environment where everyone feels kind of ownership over safety, right?
Precisely. And that brings us to a fascinating question.
Okay, hit me with it.
We've focused on how to incentivize safety, the tech, the rewards, the penalties. But what if the most effective way to boost safety isn't any of those things?
Okay.
What if it's about something, well, bigger?
All right, you've got me curious. What's this bigger thing we're missing?
What if, instead of focusing on avoiding negative outcomes, we celebrated, you know, positive actions? What if a workplace culture that truly prioritized proactive safety measures was the most powerful incentive of all?
So instead of just avoiding getting punished, people are driven by a desire to contribute to something, you know, positive.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But how do we measure something like that? How do you measure a feeling? That's the challenge, isn't it? We can track the number of accidents or near misses, but how do we quantify a culture where safety is truly ingrained? One way is to look at leading indicators. Things like how comfortable employees feel reporting potential hazards, how engaged they are in safety meetings, how often they propose solutions or improvements. These can give you a sense of whether safety is truly a shared value or just a box to be ticked.
So instead of just waiting for something to go wrong, we're looking for signs that people are actively thinking about safety, even when everything seems, you know, fine.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture where safety isn't just a set of rules imposed from above, but a collective responsibility, a shared goal that everyone is invested in.
So, to wrap things up for our listener today, it sounds like the ultimate takeaway is this. If you want to create a truly safe workplace, it's not enough to just throw technology or incentives at the problem. You need to cultivate a culture where safety is everyone's priority, where people feel empowered to speak up, and where positive actions are recognized and, you know, rewarded.
Well said. A workplace where people are engaged, empowered, and actively contributing to a safer environment is not just a safer place to work, it's also a more productive and more fulfilling one.
Thanks for listening. For non-boring safety briefings and fun science fiction stories and short films based on workplace safety, subscribe at sfw.is.